You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Two good games in a row for Syracuse basketball. We are coming to you on a rare Sunday podcast here, Sunday afternoon. Maybe you're listening on Monday, but Tim Leonard, Tyler Aki, today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. You can go to BuiltBar.com and use our promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, and get 20% off your next order. We got to do a little recap pod of what was an awesome 78-60 win over Virginia Tech, and then tomorrow's episode will be more Virginia-based. I'm sure we might still have some thoughts from this game because it was
some people are saying that April basketball is back on. It's back on for this team. I have heard it. I've seen it tweeted, so I think we have to treat it as fact now.
Yeah, well, maybe the tournament will just get pushed back so much because of COVID or something, yeah. And then they
the
will
first
be
four will
in
be
April.
In April. Yeah, there
yeah.
you go. Yeah,
no,
we're
I mean,
in
that.
May.
That was an awesome performance and really just a total team performance in the 18-point win over Virginia Tech. I was tweeting during the game that it felt like it was going to go down to the wire, and then I think I should shout out whoever it was that tweeted this, but they were like, yeah, I don't think you have to worry about that because all of a sudden they just go on this blitz in the second half, and Quincy was great, Alan Griffin was great, and you know, it's weird because I think it's a lot of the team that we knew they could be. But at the same time, one of my biggest takeaways from this game is they did it while shooting poorly. And our whole take, at least my take for most of the season, has been this team has a higher ceiling than most because they're a little bit deeper. They don't just rely on one or two guys to shoot, one or two guys to score. And they're going to be able to beat some teams in ACC play because they'll just make some threes. Well, they only shot 13 threes in the game, and their shot chart and everything was just much better in terms of getting to the rim. So it's impressive the way they won because they kind of showed that they can win with good defense, which I didn't even know was possible up until the last two games, really. And they can beat a top 25 team soundly while shooting the basketball pretty poorly, which is awesome to see.
This was the best two-way game that this team has played. And you can look at the box score and you can nitpick. You can say, oh, well, Joe didn't score a lot of points and Buddy was 3 of 13. But my biggest takeaway was that this was, like you said, a fantastic team effort. And on top of that, the best two-way game. And why I say you can nitpick at the box score is, okay, those two guys struggled. But Joe may have played his best defensive game of his career. Buddy gives you amazing positional flexibility on defense and lets you get in guys like Kadari Richmond into the game, and they can bring a new dynamic. And the way Kadari was driving with the basketball in this one, yeah. too, I mean, he was getting wherever he wanted on the floor, and I think that was really important for this team. And like you said, they didn't shoot the ball great, which is correct, but they didn't shoot the ball great from three. 4 of 13 from three, but when you look at when this team gets inside the arc, they shot 57%, which maybe you'd like that to be a touch higher, but I was overall very, very satisfied with the looks that they got and the execution.
Yeah, they're up to 35 in KenPom now, which is a big rise. And we talked a lot about how blowout wins kind of inflate your KenPom rating one way or the other, whether you lose in a blowout or you win in a blowout. But still, that's great to see. Like, in the net, they're right around there, I think, at 36 now.
Would they jump up, like, 35 spots or 25 spots on the net? I think I saw that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it was a lot. And it's kind of weird because they were favored to win this game in Vegas. It was a one-point favorite. We picked Syracuse to win the game, but the way they won again, to win by 18 points and to just completely stymie a good Virginia Tech team on offense, where Virginia Tech, it was a good matchup. I mean, we kind of talked about how they don't have the size maybe to exploit Syracuse like maybe Virginia will have a little bit more of come Monday, and we'll talk about the game tomorrow on the show. But they held the Virginia Tech shooters in check, and that's not what they did last year. Jalen Cohn, all those guys, well, they held them in check except for Aline. And Aline at the start of the game was really the only way that Virginia Tech was scoring the ball. And how about, did you see the play where I think it was the last three that Aline hit of the first half, and it was all on Joe because he cheated inside kind of near the high post area, and you could see Boeheim from the bench just ripping.
I think Goody tweeted
Joe.
It out. Yeah, yeah. Like he was like, damn it, Joe, like, come on, get on D, like, you got to get out on that. And that was kind of the thing that lit a fire under Gerard.
Yeah.
And that got him playing defense the rest of the way. He ends up getting three steals, leads to a couple of fast break points for this team, and I hope the listeners of this show got out on that play on Bet Online because Syracuse -1, 1.5, whatever you ended up settling in on it, You cashed in pretty comfortably in this one.
I know. Yeah, that was awesome to see, because the Boeheim, that's about as visceral of a reaction, and he's had plenty of emotional reactions on the sideline, but...
Well, it wasn't like, quite Coach K-like in the press conference.
Well, but. Yeah, that's that's a whole other topic, which...
That wasn't that bad. Come on.
Yeah, it was,
I mean,
everyone's
up in arms about that, and you know, you and I, we're I guess, what, the number one Duke bashers, but, like, come on. That was not that bad.
The way I put it is, I kind of have allegiance to UNC growing up. My brother went to UNC.
I would say like, I do, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I grew up a Carolina fan.
And also... I think if anything, like, I used to be a student journalist not that long ago. So it was really, that whole thing was destined for me to be against Coach K, and I still watched it and was like, that was it. Like, that really wasn't that bad. But that's a side tangent. I mean, Boeheim's done plenty.
Boeheim's done far worse to, yeah. And K has done far worse to people, too. Like, and I don't even think it, no, like, we can end it here, but, like, that was not bad.
It wasn't good, but it wasn't as bad as people made it out to be.
Good
anyway,
question, good answer. That's what it was.
Right. The offensive ratings in this game on KenPom, let's just read them off because it's about as good of an all-around effort offensively as you'll see from this team. And really, maybe dating back to like Georgia Tech last year, I was trying to do some digging, but it was a really strong, at least in ACC competition, going up against good competition. Kadari leads the team with a 160 offensive rating. And you brought up how he was getting in the lane. Some of it was when the game was kind of out of hand, but still, I mean, we got to see the whole offensive package from him in this game. He goes 4-for-5 from two. He does hit that 1-3 late in the game when the shot clock buzzer sounded. 2-for-2 at the free throw line. Again, the average offensive rating is 100. He puts in a 160, scores 13 points in 15 minutes, only has one turnover, just one assist. But again, the ball moves great when he's out there, and his defense was exceptional again.
It helps at the top of the zone so, so much. And that's the thing, too, is... when he gets into the lane, this kind of felt like a different Virginia Tech team. You and I talked about it, how Virginia Tech is a team that likes to get physical on defense, likes to play in your jersey, don't like to give you a lot of airspace, especially your shooters. And the way that Kadari just kind of dribbled through everyone and got to the rim, I was a little perplexed. I was like, this is not the typical Virginia Tech team I'm used to seeing. So, yes, that was something that... it was good to see him get a little confidence, so much so that he goes out there and rips a three. So that was good to see. And, I mean, you're right. I mean, I think we have our answer now. We're not asking for 30 minutes of Kadari. We're not asking for 35 minutes of Kadari. But 15 to 20 minutes, I think you need it every single night. You really do,
absolutely.
Both offensively and defensively. He just makes your basketball team that much better when he's out there on the floor.
In this 15 minutes, he did have three fouls, so that contributed. He probably would have played more minutes, especially
if there weren't a blowout, and yeah.
Yeah, no, I think, and he was out there for the later stages of the game, but Gerard, he started out the game pretty rough defensively, and then Boeheim lays into him on that one play, and it was like something clicked. And I got to give Boeheim some credit, because the way he's handled the Richmond-Gerard, like in a different team with a different coach... it could have gone south, and it could have become a competition.
Could have lost the locker room, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not saying Boeheim's... I mean, he probably should be playing Kadari more minutes, and I think a lot of people were right on that, and it's not a coincidence that in the two games where Kadari's playing more, they've started dominating teams. Maybe he could have given Kadari a little bit more of a leash earlier in the season, and because the way he played on offense, too, it's like, gosh, I want to see more of this offensively. He made some tough shots. And what were kind of insignificant minutes, but still. But yeah, the way he's handled Gerard and Richmond, having them both out there and giving Gerard sort of like laying into him, it motivated him. And you could tell that in the second half especially, Joe came out, he had one nice steal that led to a reverse layup. He made some tough shots. He was just getting driving past people a little bit more. And maybe that was partially COVID, but he looks a lot better at getting in the lane now. And also, his energy on defense is just way, way better. And that's something that Devo brought up in a radio show recently. We were talking about talking to this with Matthew Gutierrez. We were texting during the game about this. And he's spot on, Devo and Goody, who brought this to my attention, saying that you can't be super athletic. Like, Gerard is going to be the same athlete that he is. But you can bring more energy, and you can be on top of it. And you can stick to the principles of the zone.
Be savvy, instincts.
Yeah, they're definitely doing that.
No doubt. And that's the thing, is it feels like an iron sharpens iron sort of deal where, all right, you've got the threat of Kadari looming, but it doesn't necessarily feel like a threat because you know how long your leash is if you're Joe Girard, if you're Buddy Boeheim, if you're Alan Griffin. Like, it is pretty long. You can say, oh, well, we've seen games where Buddy gets benched, where Alan gets benched, where Joe gets benched, but they know that that next game they're going to be starting and they're going to play 30 minutes as long as they continue to produce at a similar level that we're accustomed to. So I think that helps because I don't view if – I don't think the guard room, I know there's not like a guard room per se, but I don't think the guard group views Kadari as some sort of threat. And I mean that in a good way for all parties, is that he's not going to just come in and steal all your minutes. He may be a good substitute for you, but he's also going to be productive out on the floor. And that's important for this team because they played phenomenal team basketball. And I think there's a very, very good team dynamic. Again, you got to remember, they are bringing back most of their pieces from a season ago. You lost Elijah Hughes, and that was really it from a season ago. I guess you lost some transfers too, but no one really that contributed significant minutes aside from Elijah Hughes last year. And you're adding a lot of significant parts to this car right now. And when I look at Allen, when I look at Kadari, I mean, those were two of your best players in this game. And it really helps when you've got all these different options night in and night out. As guys, so much of our identity is wrapped up in our hair, from how it feels after getting a fresh cut to the way it's perfectly styled before going out or on a Zoom call. That's why when we get into our 20s and 30s and start noticing the first signs of hair loss, it definitely feels like panic time. Because let's face it, no guy's ever ready to go bald. And thankfully now, there's Keeps, the simple way to keep your hair. Did you know that 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35? The best way to prevent hair loss is to do something about it while you still have some hair left. You used to have to go to the doctor's office to get your hair loss prescription, but now thanks to Keeps, you can visit a doctor online and get hair loss medication delivered right to your home. They make it easy and deliver your medication every 3 months so you can say goodbye to pharmacy checkout lines and awkward doctor visits. Keeps offers generic versions of the only 2 FDA-approved hair loss products out there. You may have tried them before, but probably never for this price. Find out why Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors, and more than 100,000 men trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention medication. Keeps treatments start at just $10 a month, plus for a limited time, you can get your first month free. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/lockedoncollege. Again, that's keeps.com/lockedoncollege, KEEPS.com/lockedoncollege, and you will receive your first month of treatment for free. Hey, the championship is set in the NFL, and there's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust to get in all those wagers. It's betonline.ag. They've got things from money lines, spreads, totals, prop bets, and you know there's going to be plenty of prop bets for this upcoming game. Be sure to sign up today for a free account. Go to betonline.ag and use our promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. You throw $100 in your account, you're going to get $50 to play with on the house. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Syracuse and Virginia, big game coming up for Monday. You can get in on that action if you got to lean with it. You like the total, you like the spread, whatever. Get in on it right now at betonline.ag. And don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON. You'll receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Alan Griffin, he looked like Elijah Hughes in this game. He was tremendous.
I mean, 7 blocks. I mean, those blocks were all the Elijah Hughes blocks that we're used to seeing.
Yeah. And one turnover, he had some putback dunks. He finishes with a double-double, 15 points, 10 rebounds, 133 offensive rating in KenPom in 37 minutes. I think you got the best Alan Griffin game of the season, the best Kadari Richmond game of the season, which he's had some good ones, and honestly, probably the best Marek game of the season because he's got a 133 offensive rating. He scores 18 points, which is probably a season high for him. I'd have to double-check, but he gets to the line. He's 8-for-8. From the line, he plays all 40 minutes and limits the foul trouble, where he only had 2 fouls in this game. So all 3 of those things, plus you probably got the best stretch of defense from Joe all season, and that's why you win the game by 18 points. You don't even have to make threes when all things are clicking. And I haven't even mentioned Quincy in that conversation. The only reason why I say it's not the best game of the season is because it's become kind of weirdly the norm with him.
That's the norm. Yeah, I mean...
Yeah,
20 and 9 was his final line here, and he only turns the ball over once. He gets a block as well, and you could even say to a degree he was maybe a little limited too because he did pick up those four fouls. So this is something that, I mean, the front court in general played a phenomenal game, and I think a lot of it has to do with they imposed their will. They wanted to be the more physical group, and that's something we have not seen a whole lot of out of Syracuse this season. They wanted to be the more physical, the bigger group, and you can see that. That they go to the free throw line, they shoot 17 free throws between Guerrier and Dolezal. 17, and guess what? You made 15 of them, too. That's a huge swing in your game. I mean, remember when we used to look at Marek and you were praying he'd split at the line, and you, I mean, Quincy's always been pretty solid with free throws, but it's just one of those situations where you are seeing growth, you're seeing development. If there's one thing that this Syracuse, we can rip on the bigs for not developing. If there's one thing that we can say there is development with the bigs, it's the free throw shooting. I mean, yeah. Think about Pascal Chukwu. He was not a good free throw shooter. And then by his senior year, he was he wasn't a great free throw shooter, but you could see drastic improvements where you knew, all right, he could go to the line and he could hit two free throws. Barama has gotten better. Dolezal, in particular, has become a very good foul shooter. And then Quincy is just keeping on pace with the rest of them.
Yeah, they're not turning the ball over, and they're attacking the basket a lot more offensively. And the defense, too, has been tremendous. Like, all year, it has been completely overhyped how they've handled the three-point shot. And this game shows this is a good shooting Virginia Tech team. Miami was one thing because Miami didn't have a lot of good shooters, and it did feel like they missed shots. Virginia Tech has shooters. Hunter Couture came in shooting 48%. Jalen Cohn made everything against Syracuse last year. Hunter Couture goes 1-for-5 from three. Jalen Cohn's 1-for-8 from three in this game. The only guy was Naheem Aline. He goes 5-for-10 from three. But overall, the Hokies shoot at 8-for-29 from three. That's 27.6%. And Syracuse right now is one of the best three-point defenses in the country. And you got to tip your hat to Boeheim because, I mean, I was saying maybe it's man-to-man this year, like in a joking way a little bit, but we were talking just a couple games ago after Pitt about how bad this defense is and how much of a concern it is after they gave up 64 points and a half. And now you look at the defensive numbers and you look at these two games, and sure, maybe it's an overreaction, but these are back-to-back games where it looked like defense was an asset and a strength for this team, which is amazing to see.
And a lot of it has come down to effort, too. I think that's super important. Like, Alan Griffin was locked in this game. Absolutely locked in. Probably the most locked in. I mean, just from the get-go, you could tell. He had a little fire in his eyes, a little killer instinct in him. Joe, once he got that fire lit under him by Boeheim, he picked it up defensively. Kadari's going to give it to you every single night. Buddy gives you tremendous positional flexibility to put different. I mean, we saw four guard lineups out there at times in this game.
Yeah.
And why not take advantage of it? Because Virginia Tech's not very big, so you can do stuff like that. So I was really, really thoroughly impressed with how the whole thing shook out. The lineups, the performance on the court, the defense, the offense, just spreading the ball, sharing the ball as well. And I think the big number for me in this game, and honestly, it applies for Virginia Tech too, not a lot of turnovers. Not a lot. Yeah. I mean, Syracuse turned the ball over 8 times. Virginia Tech only coughed it up 10 times. So I was very, very happy. If you're a Syracuse fan, be happy with how this team took care of the ball in this game. Marek was your leading guy with 2 turnovers. And then, I mean, I think the biggest thing to see the improvement of Alan Griffin, the blocks are nice, the points are nice, the rebounds are nice. Turns the ball over one time. And that's something that has been his Achilles heel. We always say we don't want to see him put the ball on the deck because usually it gets picked and then it's going the other way for the opposing team. But in this game, we saw him have some pull-up shots. He put the ball on the floor less and he found different ways to score. He had a ton of opportunities with second chances and creating second chances. And sometimes it wasn't for himself. Sometimes he wouldn't actually get the offensive rebound, but someone else would as a result of him being that threat to get said offensive rebound.
Yeah, they're right now 36th in the country in turnover percentage on offense, according to KenPom. They turn it over 16.1% of the time on offense, which sounds like a lot, but it's actually 36th best mark in the country. So, and they're forcing turnovers at a decent clip as well. 20.9% of the time, they're forcing turnovers. this team, I mean, going into the season, I had decent hopes. I think we both projected them maybe fifth or sixth in the ACC. Or
some of us more officially than others, because, you know,
yeah,
some of us
right.
get votes for some of us get votes for the ACC. Couldn't be me.
I forgot about
your, couldn't be me.
Your saltiness there. But no, we had them, what, 9 seed? Or we'd have to.
Yeah, we said like 8, 9 seed, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we'll see. I mean, I think this checked a box, though, in terms of what this team had to prove. For me, at least, it was prove that you can beat a team and not rely on the three. Like, prove that you are more than just a good three-point shooting team that can get hot in stretches, and that's when you win games. Check in this game. And then the second thing now that they have to prove is, can they win a game against a physical team that has a lot of front court size? And can they go to Marek at center and still be able to beat a UNC and beat even a Virginia? Like, we'll get the opportunity to see here tomorrow night. Yeah, like that's the next thing for them to prove. But I feel better about it because, and it's a shame that Barham is hurt. And you look at the lineup, like, they only played six guys. I mean, I know Edwards comes in for 2 minutes. Like, do you have a problem with the six-guard lineup or the six-man rotation that they're in right now, I should say?
No, I mean, whatever. I'm not going to be upset about a rotation of an 18-point win. I mean, you just can't be. I mean, maybe you could say, oh, well, throw some of the walk-ons out there at the end. But that's it. Like, I mean, I look at this game and the six men were working. You didn't need to go to that. Marek in this game, if he's not going to be in foul trouble, he only has two fouls in this game. There's no reason to dig into your bench, because that's a guy who, if he can give you 40 minutes, you're going to take all 40 of those minutes. There's no reason to put Jesse in there unless Marek's in foul trouble right now.
Quick break to tell you guys about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the marketplace. My personal favorite. I actually just got a brand new loaded box of Built Bar in the mail yesterday. I'm so jacked up. That's literally, like, in this quarantine times, one of the things that makes me the happiest when that Built Bar box comes to my door. It's that good. They've got 18 amazing flavors. We've talked about a lot of the new ones, but the six new ones are caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Man, the apple almond crisp I got in my new customizable box, which I'm very excited to try. I've not tried that one, but a lot of these sound really, really good, and they are really good. They're covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft. They're easy to chew, and they're good for you. That's the best part. They're low calorie, low sugar, yet high protein and high fiber. Great for a keto diet as well. So you can go to BuiltBar.com. You can use our promo code LOCKEDON. That's all one word. It gets you 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Again, our promo code locked off for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. So let's get into some of the Twitter replies here. Jeff Henley says, Kadari's foul trouble hindered us in the second half, but his ability to get in the lane, finish, and defend, parentheses, steals at the top of the zone, has made us significantly more formidable. It's true. Like, Marek was raving about Kadari after the game. We tweeted some of that stuff out about how he's been so athletic and so long, and he's never seen someone that great playing defense. And we get another response here that says, just play Richmond, period, from Tonelli2Nystrom is his Twitter handle. It's all American flag. So, and we've gotten a couple responses from that guy. And a lot of people are saying play Richmond more. Again, I'll say he could play a little bit more, but I like the way that Boeheim has handled it. I think Gerard starting and playing Richmond 25 minutes would probably be my ideal measure. Because, again, I do think the conditioning...
I just want to see him fresh, right?
Yeah.
Like, we saw how sloppy he got at the end of those Rutgers games and some of those early games. And some people want to say it's a narrative that Boeheim's thrown out there. I don't think it is. I think that he genuinely does get tired at the end of these games, and I'd rather have him be fresh. Maybe you can stretch him out to 20 to 25 minutes when you get into the middle of February. I want to see a guy who's playing at full strength all season, and right now he can't do that. I'd rather see him at his best later in the season. So you don't need to stretch him out in some of these games. I'd rather see him play like we know how he can play, and that's when he is fully, I shouldn't say like has full stamina, but I don't want to see him go out there and look dog tired at times, which we have seen, and it's not pretty.
Yeah. You know, I'm getting some vibes from this team that it's sort of similar just in terms of like how good they are to that team that was 2 years ago that went to Salt Lake City and lost to Baylor. Mm-hmm. Were they a 9 seed or an 8 seed?
Yeah, they were in the 8-9 matchup, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if you remember that year, they lost to Old Dominion at home. Then they lost to Georgia Tech. I think it was 2 days before they went on the road and beat number one Duke in that Zion team. And Elijah Hughes' half-court, or actually three-quarter court shot.
The Marek charge.
Yeah, the Marek charge, right? The Jeep hitting him. There was signs early on with that team that it was like, oh my gosh, it's another bubble team. And we should say that team wasn't really bubble. When we say that the last 7 years...
No, that team was comfortably in, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they were a 9.
I mean, they weren't a great seed, but yeah, they weren't in the bubble conversation. That pretty much vanished in like...
Right.
After like, they won team, the ACC tournament, yeah.
That team had some quality road wins. They crushed Louisville at home. I think that was a big
win later on in the
year. I was going to say,
this game gave me vibes of that Louisville game where Syracuse went out and crushed a ranked team at home. Big pivotal point in the season. You're kind of looking for a signature win, and boom, you got it there. That's what this game reminded me of.
So that team, I'm looking now, they went 20-14, which, I mean, that really means nothing this year because they'll play like half the amount of games compared to that year. But, I mean, that was when Frank got hurt in the tournament. They lose to Baylor. I think that's what if I had to make a projection right now on what this team will end up being, I'd say 10 seed, 9 seed range. I feel good. I feel much better now that I've seen them win in different ways, and I've seen the defense turn a corner with the insertion of more Kadari, with the insertion of a couple different lineups here. We've seen some good things from Jesse Edwards. It will depend on matchups if you really want to crunch it. And honestly, like, they still got their work cut out for them. I know they're 35 on KenPom, but they've got a lot of tough games coming up, starting with Virginia. Clemson isn't as good as they used to be, but you got NC State, who's a decent team. Like, Louisville's on the calendar soon. So they could, you know, reel off some quad one wins here. And that was the thing. This is your first quad one. Could end up being a quad one game. We'll see how Virginia Tech finishes the season. But you get to 9-4 and you get a win right now. That's quad one, which is huge because you just didn't have a signature win yet.
I would say the one thing, and to draw it back to that 2019 team, the difference between that team and this team is that team had an alpha in Tyus Battle. I don't know if this team has that right now. Like, you can say Quincy, but game on the line, are you going to Quincy Guerrier right now? I don't know if the answer is yes. But that's the thing, is I don't know if this team needs that per se, because you've got so many different guys. It's just, can you get all of them to click or at least be cohesive on the same game? And that's what determines what the ceiling is. We have not seen a level of consistency from any of the guards. You can say Kadari, but but the sample size isn't there for me. Like, if you had to give him 30 minutes, who knows how he's playing in the final 5-3 minutes of a game. So that's the thing, is I haven't seen a level of consistency out there that I can depend on night in and night out from the guards, and you need that in college basketball. So that's what I'm looking for out of this team. I think that's the next step that they have to take. We'll see if they can get there. And again, they don't necessarily need to have an alpha emerge. You just need consistency out of that guard group. Consistent shooting, consistent performances, and especially on the defensive end of the ball.
You bring up the Quincy alpha sort of topic, and Mike Vidala tweeted at us and said, quote, he doesn't even know how good he is, my line, early this year. He's starting to figure it out, but he's got one more step to take. He's at the, quote, I got this stage now. If he takes the, quote, you can't beat me ever step, he has to see himself as dominant. It's coming. He's gone, period, which I think he's referring to the NBA. But that's a good point. Like, Quincy, we're seeing the progression where now it's like,
he's the best player on this team, and it's not even close.
Right. And I do think Alan Griffin, this is kind of a separate discussion, but Alan Griffin to me is kind of the X factor of the team, because the way that he played on defense too, Boeheim was very complimentary of his defense after the game, and you could tell he brought more energy. Like, it's more effort and energy all across the board defensively, and that's been the big difference in these past two games. But when Griffin's playing like that, then it just looks like a different team. Because
this is a team that can be top 25 if Griffin gives you that consistently, but we see him go through the peaks and valleys of his season too often. And that's what hurts this team. When he is bad, he holds his team back so much. But when he is good, there is zero doubt in my mind that Syracuse is winning that game. Zero doubt right. When he is good and he is engaged. And one more thing I want to bring up with Quincy. I just kind of thought about this. So we mentioned how Quincy is the best player on this team. Not even close. But if you gave, let's say you gave out an assignment and told, so this team's played 13 games. You gave out 13 different tapes to 13 different people. And you said, all right, find me the best player on the Syracuse team. I don't know if Quincy would be getting a lot of answers. And I think that's kind of the beauty of it is he's so consistent. He's quiet with the way that he does his work, but he is super productive for this team. Very rarely do you watch a Syracuse game and think to yourself, Quincy's the best player. But when you look at the overall body of work.
I don't know. I think I kind of disagree.
There's a couple games where, it's one of those things like you see Alan Griffin go off. You see Joe Girard go off.
Yeah.
You see Buddy Boeheim go off. So it's just the inconsistency of the guards, but you could always say in almost every single one of these games, who's the second best player? You're probably pointing at Quincy. So in more games than that, listen, there are games where Quincy is the best player on the floor and you could bring an alien from outer space and he would tell you the same thing. But I also think that it's just the whole body of work. And that's the beautiful thing of it is that you see this entire sample size of him just putting his head down, doing his work. And he's been excellent for this team. And there's no way to get around it. He is the best player on this team.
Yeah, I tweeted something like, we've reached the point where it's just appreciate that he's out there and enjoy these last. I mean, he's probably gone the way he's
playing. I mean, yeah, what? This team might have 10 to 15 games left.
Yeah.
15 means you're making a sizable tournament run, by the way.
Well, once
or an ACC tournament.
I mean, they're playing
in
April, Ty, so. I mean,
yeah, that is well, true.
You got to you got to count those April.
So maybe 20.
Well.
You might get 20.
Right. I'll leave it on this note. This was maybe the best Twitter reply we got. And this guy's Twitter name is also legendary. It is, why does no one talk about Syracuse basketball? All one word with a question mark at the end. And he just said, friendly reminder that we're back. I mean, we're back. Everyone's
shout
in.
Shout out Sam Ellinger. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're back.
April basketball is on. Clear your calendars, everyone. But no, we'll get you ready for Virginia tomorrow and talk a lot about that matchup. And I said going into the Virginia Tech game that that was kind of the litmus test game. And I do want to give them credit. Like, they passed that test. So now they're a different
flying
team
colors
than I thought.
Too.
Yeah. This also is another litmus test game, and I'll probably just say that for the next 4 or 5 games.
Well, this is like a stepping stool game. Now you're trying to climb the ladder. All right, this is that next step for you. This is the best team in the ACC right now.
Yeah, I mean, right now, fourth best team on KenPom in the ACC, and they're one behind North Carolina, who's third, and the KenPom rankings at 35 in the country is Syracuse. So anyway, we will have a full Virginia preview for you guys tomorrow on the show. Thanks for listening. As always, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Follow the show on Twitter at LO_Syracuse, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.